Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. This is my 100th podcast. What does that mean? I'll explain. Before I get started today, I want to remind everyone in Australia, that would be Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, and Brisbane, that I am going to spend an entire month in Australia teaching in all of those cities, 1 week in each, and I am really looking forward to it. That is coming up this November 2018. In February, I'll be in Vancouver from the 5th through the 10th, and I'll be doing some evening scene study classes, and then on the weekend, the 9th and 10th, I'll be doing a two-day intensive. And then I'm off to Toronto, and starting the 11th through the 24th of February, I'll be there doing, as I did before, offering classes every night, Sunday through Thursday night. And, you know, you can jump in, do one, do four, do all of them. And all of this, you can contact me at jeff@reallifeactor.com, and I'll give you the details on all of that stuff. And, you know, I always feel a little reluctant to talk about these things. You know, I feel like I'm obviously shilling for myself. I'm trying to get you to come and do your thing with me. But the fact is, it's always way bigger than that for me. You know, it's about trying to get this new way of working out there and for everyone to see it, to experience it. It is obviously my life's quest. I mean, this is what I do. That's how you get to 100 podcasts, you know. It is my unrelenting crusade to try and change the way acting is taught in the world. Now, as a result of the podcasts, I have managed to engage people from around the world, and so I get to hear their stories, their ideas, what their classes have been, what they've been subjected to, you know, the problems that they're having. And I found that I had a very interesting viewpoint, you see, because I was given this one-to-one kind of intimacy of speaking to people and hearing their story and finding that in all parts of the world, the problem is the same. It's all the same. Everyone is peddling various derivatives or straight out of the book of this idea of this culture of acting I keep talking about. I also noticed that everyone to a person, they all respond to not discussing acting at all. It's more about what's actually happening with the people in the scene. I see the same thing. Everyone seems relieved. They can't believe that they're being given the opportunity, or perhaps I should say the permission, to not have to focus on a bunch of acting bullshit. The idea that actors, you know, I've believed in this for 4 years, you know, or 10 or 15 or 30. If you came up with something that allowed you to pursue your work with way more grace and focus and ability, why would you not do it? You know, I've said this in many podcasts. I just think it is so disrespectful to the person you're playing when you take that particular person's journey in the script, let's say it's tragic, and you take that and you parse it up into acting. And in order to pretend like you've walked a mile in this character's shoes, or that, you know, you've earned the right to play this person, you sit around working how you will display the exact right amount of concern or sadness or anger in these situations by using a bunch of acting nonsense. I mean, I just, at the root of it, you know, at the base of it, I think that is so incredibly disrespectful. Because at the end of the day, if what we're supposed to get watching this work, if what we're supposed to get is to feel, is to have empathy for this person's journey, for what's going on with this person, for the feelings they're having, the loss that they've just incurred, the sadness, the anger, the frustration that they're feeling. For you as an actor to even think in terms of, well, maybe the best choice would be, I'm just going to really work out my performance. I'm going to calibrate it. I'm going to try and make it seem like I am that person, that I'm going through that so I can jerk the tears out of my audience's eyes. And I'll do it by manipulating them with my beat choices and so on and so forth. That just feels so cheap to me. What is it? What fear do actors have that they feel that if they don't work out exactly how they're going to say stuff, that they're you know, they may fail? A concern that is never the same in real life. You never practice the exact way you're going to say something in real life when you're going to have a confrontation coming up, and yet you always practice and wring your hands over the way you're going to address similar situations when you act. That doesn't seem a little crazy there? That in real life, you can just pull it out. You can just do it at a moment's notice, at a traffic light, walking into a fast food place. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter the time of day or the lighting or who's involved. You are always able to pull out of you what is necessary at a moment's notice. Like a flash. You change gears, you go, you know, into emergency mode, you change this to now confront that person without letting them know about what just happened, you know. We are brilliantly adept in real life. We are so much more adept in real life than we are in acting. I say it again and again and again. And you people that are kind of nodding with me, and obviously, you know, if you're listening to this, then you're certainly giving it your attention and you've certainly considered it. So come on, work it out with me. How is it you're able to, at a moment's notice, always deliver the goods at whatever temperature, at whatever speed, at whatever argument, whatever need? You know, it is like we are constantly in our lives. If our communication skills were a knife, it's like every day we have a whetstone, and we are constantly sharpening that knife. Is everyone like this? Well, no, not everyone, but certainly people that endeavor to be in a field where their precision and ability with communication and emotion and everything is concerned, that these would be people who would be self-aware and in life and seeing life situations. I mean, after all, you've made it your vocation. So I have to assume that so then in real life, you understand communication. You're not that lazy about your emotions and how you feel about things. I mean, it's kind of the field you're in. So I think, you know, I find actors to be a little more aware of these things. And if they aren't, my goodness, they should be. If you should be paying attention to anything, you should be paying attention to that and at least making some kind of mental notes from time to time about how, you know, the world turns and how things work and how we are as people. I mean, this is your study. So, let me pose the question. How is it that no matter what happens in real life, when it happens, we instantly can come up with the thing we need to do to communicate, to behave, to fix, to break? We can do it. We can do it. We can do it like it's nothing. Sometimes brilliantly. Other times, maybe not as great. Wish I hadn't have said that. I should have probably done this a little more. I should have made my point about that thing. You know, of course, that happens. Right off the bat, your ability is so much more adept and fluid and non-wavering than that same ability that you try to bring to light when you do your scene work. So what would be the difference? One is real life and the other isn't. Well, you can't use that because they're both real life, right? What you mean is one is actually happening to you and the other one you're just pretending it's happening to you. Okay, I'll accept that. In one, it's just bang. It's just happening and you're reacting and you would say, well, there's nothing to think about. I don't have to think about the given circumstance. I don't have to think about who I am, all these things that actors think about and have to have knowledge of to be able to move forward and have some sort of cohesive, cogent conversation about things. You know all these things, right? So you have them already. You know them already. So, you know, and you're you and you just get to react. In the other one, although it is a portrayal of real life, theoretically, that's what we're doing. We're portraying real life. You could say, well, it's not happening to me right then. Right? So what is the difference between the two then? If we could just boil it down, wouldn't we say that in one, you have copious amounts of necessary knowledge in the situation, your real life happening to you situation. And in the other one, the fictional one, the one that is a portrayal of real life in a real life situation, you don't know all the nuts and bolts. You don't have all the information. Okay, I accept that. I think that's excellent. I think that makes perfect sense. Could we all agree? Could we just really break it down to that thing? That is why in real life, we are able to just rock and roll. It's kind of always right. Our inflection is always pretty much what it needs to be. You know, I mean, you know, you may walk away from a real life situation and say, I shouldn't have said that, or I should have maybe not yelled then, but it's never about your authenticity. So then we can agree that it's knowledge. It is information about given circumstance, what's going on, what your side of it is, all that stuff, right? The stuff that naturally is just part of who you are as you walk down the street. It's all there. All those things have been figured out. In the other one, they need to be figured out. We agree with that. Seems reasonable, doesn't it? Right? But consider this. You know, the one thing that we don't have in real life that is ever a concern, that is at all a part of our knowledge of the given circumstance, of the situation, the information we have, our point of view, all of that stuff that's just inherent, right, as we move through life, it's just there. You know what is never a part of it is any kind of acting thoughts. In all of our scheming, in all of our pre-planning, in all of our setting up, in all of the things that we would do in real life as we might even meticulously plan how we're going to deal with the situation, the one thing that never comes into play are acting thoughts, acting notions. We don't discuss beats. We don't have action verbs. We don't talk about, you know, primary, secondary, and tertiary choices. The only time we would is if we were considering perhaps three different properties or three different shirts, and we could only buy one. I want you to think about all those things. None of those things ever come into play. Why? Well, we would never use them. Ever. How am I so positive? Well, we all know about these things. We always have. No one ever thinks to use them when you're plotting some real life situation coming up, or you're concerning yourself or preparing yourself for a meeting or an argument or a confrontation. You know, we never do that. Will you just stop and think about that, please, for a moment? Okay, because I know that some of you are going to continue to try and figure out, yeah, but well, but that's different. Okay, how? How is it different? How is it different? We've already agreed that the biggest difference between the two situations, the make-believe and the real life of, say, even a similar scene, is our acute knowledge in one, being alive and just living and then having something happen to us and, you know, very well aware of how we feel about things. So my ability to be able to turn on a dime and react accordingly is pretty easy. We agreed that it's because in the make-believe situation, I haven't made all these determinations. I'm not acutely aware of all of these things. And so, you know, I can't just count on, you know, knowing how I'm going to behave, right? Because what I propose is that if you approach your work properly, you don't ever have to sit around sing your lines out loud trying to get the proper music to where it sounds like it's supposed to. Like I say to actors all the time, you can fall in love with what you're saying. You can like what you say. You can appreciate the dialogue, the way it's written, the point you're making. Just don't fall in love with the way you say it. I think one of the main things that cheapens acting to me is what makes it so cheap is that as I keep discussing, the culture of acting kind of allows us to indulge in a ponderance and manipulation of the way that we're going to do things that truly the person in the real life situation would never even consider. They're not afforded that same indulgence to be able to indulge with absolutely no downside from the upcoming whatever's going to happen to them, because it's all make-believe, of course. So, you know, they don't have to worry about any of that stuff, you see. All they can do, all they need to do then is just indulge in how they're going to say things and when they're going to cry and how they're going to manipulate the situation. You see, this is an indulgence that the actor affords himself or herself, and it is just not at all what the real life person gets to do. You don't get to think about stuff like that, you see? Doesn't it seem more noble, more right, that instead of manipulating the way you were going to behave as these characters, that instead you focused on gathering the same information a person needs in order to be able to do the same thing in real life, then use that information to then compel you to behave the way that you are supposed to behave or should behave, or in the area of behavior that they're looking for in the script? Can't you understand how that would be a much more noble, more pure way to approach your work? Is to just forget all of this acting, little pre-planned, marionetted, silly nonsense. Just get that out of the way and become this kind of a purist who says, you know what, I'm not going to manipulate my work on paper like that. I'm not going to have graphs and lines and little notations so I can scientifically, you know, blend my performance. No, what I'm going to do, I am going to figure out what's going on in this particular situation, what is needed of me here in the story, what it is my character is supposed to pursue in this show. Let me understand what all that is and why. And now what I'm going to do is this very simple, pure thing. I'm just going to make that all my stuff now. That's all my concerns. And I'm going to get in there and I'm just going to punch it out. That's what's going to happen. I'm not going to sit around like a little scaredy cat trying to get it to where when I say the line or when I yell it, it actually sounds right. I'm not going to be someone that does that. I'm not going to sit in the middle of a conversation with someone and then realize that this is the moment where the beat changes, so I'm going to pause now and look out the window because that's what I planned. That's the other problem with the culture of acting is that, you know, we immediately kind of hound dog down the road of, you know, acting answers. And we don't really, really ask the questions that people ask of each other as they try and understand the root cause of a problem and, you know, what the sides are and what the issues are. The questions are asked differently in this culture of acting. I know this because whenever I'm working with people, I was just working with someone new yesterday, actor who had a lot of experience, hadn't necessarily been asked those questions or asked to look at things in this way. And it wasn't out of ignorance at all, of course. It was just the fact that in the acting culture, usually we don't ask these kinds of questions, these what I think are very simple questions, and trying to get simple answers and reasonings for why you're doing the thing you're doing and what your basic belief is. And I'm telling you, folks, if you really start working at this a different way, you'll not only feel it more viscerally, but your lines will memorize more quickly. You'll own what you're talking about much more adeptly. You won't have to worry about the way you're going to say something. You're not going to be actually someone who is hoping to hoodwink everyone in earshot into believing that they actually care about the thing they are saying they care about. You don't waste any of your energy on that kind of a pursuit. It's nonsense. What you think about is what you should truly be doing. And that is being kind of the surrogate human being for the person that's in the story. You're supposed to go in there and represent. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to represent that person. You're supposed to go in there. Not go in and recite some little routine you've done. No, you're actually supposed to go in there and, as best you can, represent that human. Represent that human. Get in there and mix it up so then we can film it while you're doing it. You see, that's the stunt. That's the trick. Between action and cut, we'd really like it if you could be completely present and if all the actors in the scene could pursue the thing we're pursuing, but just leave that little room for le magique. Like, we don't quite know what's going to happen, and it can flux and change and from take to take. That is, well, that's utopia. You know, that is what we're looking for. That is the cream of what we try and do. So that's what we aspire to. So in that sense, I want you to think about this. Here we are. I want you to think about this. Like, the way that you're going to pursue the acting, just for nobility's sake, is that you're going to take on, you're going to look as if you're looking at a dossier, what's going on with your character. You're going to find your way in. You're going to represent that person. Yes, you memorize all your lines verbatim. There's no looseness there. But you want to be able to work on your scene and rehearse your scene, let's say, without writing anything down. Okay? So first of all, let's do that. Why don't you try that for me and see how it works for you? What that's naturally going to do is it's going to kind of take down the amount of busy work that you do on the part. I want to see how much of it you can actually remember of your homework, of the decisions you make. I want to see, can you do that? Can you just incorporate all of your ideas without writing them down and staring at them? Can you just go along and logically work on your piece, understand what's going on, what your character's beef is, why, and can you just own that as you go along? Like you do in life, when things happen, you don't have to write down how you feel. I'm not talking about people that keep journals. I'm saying you wouldn't have to remember, unless, of course, you had some affliction that you're not mentioning, but otherwise it would seem that you could remember these things, and so you wouldn't need to write them down. So here's this kind of first way of trying this exercise, of trying to get a feeling for this, is put the pen down. Step away from the pen. Get your lines down. Be able to answer simply any question about the story just from that one scene that I would watch. If I had a question, if you referred to something or some incident or, you know, anything, you would be able to answer me in plain speak. If I said to you, hey, you know, why are you angry? Why are you happy? Who's this guy? What did he do to you? What's the problem here? You know, why are you so giddy? Why are you so sad? Whatever. You could just explain it to me in plain speak, in a way that you would explain that to another human being. What would you say? How would you talk to a friend? Not to some acting analyst. What would be these words? So you don't write anything down. You get your lines down to where you know them very well, and you're able to answer any question regarding your point of view. How do you deal with it? How do you speak about it? How do you justify your actions? How do you explain why you're right and the other person's wrong? Very simple human stuff. Just like if you stepped into a confrontation, an argument, a situation in real life, the types of questions that you would ask, how they would be answered. Really, just try and do it this way and see how that works. I mean, it's appropriate. This is the 100th podcast, so I can say for the 100th time, stop worrying about all of that kind of, you know, methodic detailery that all systems would have you worry about. and really try and be true blue. Let the thing drive you through the scene that drives humans through a scene. Things are simple in life in that regard. I know it may seem like, you know, life is multi-layered. Yes, but I think that's just what life is. I think that's how it comes. That's the only way it slices. It's multi-layered because there's always a lot going on. And that's nothing that we have to work too hard at, really. I think many of us would like a few less layers. The only thing you need to focus on is getting your point across, listening, explaining yourself, and doing it for only the same reason a human would, and that would be for all the same reasons a human would, and they never have anything to do with getting my acting right, doing the scene well, you know, really coming up at the end and playing an opposite, any of this shenanigan stuff that actors do that I think demeans the human experience. It does. I mean, doesn't this kind of make sense? It's almost romantic, this idea that we only take onto the field the same things that the person I'm representing would essentially have, and let me then pursue it in a similar fashion for similar reasons, for a hopefully similar outcome. Let me do it that way. Why not? Isn't that a great purist way to look at your work? What's wrong with that? Doesn't that seem like you would be free to do anything? You would be like an authority on the scene. You would have all of your lines down. You would certainly know what you were doing there. And, you know, all the things, as I keep mentioning, you would know in real life. And now, doesn't it make sense then that if any kind of direction was thrown at you at all or anything, you would be able to sort it out? Why? Because you own the situation through and through, man. It's not just some little mosaic you made for us to bring in and for us to film. No, this is a living, breathing human being, and you're there, and you're ready to, you know, verbally duke it out, and you're good to go. And now you're going to get your instructions, and in any format, you're going to make it work. And it's going to be authentic every time. Why? Because you are home, man. You are present. You know, it's the future. We want actors with fewer moving parts. We really do. It's just so much more sexy, man. You just have to be told a little bit, and you can get up and just, you know, whip it up. You're like a chef that can, whatever's in your fridge, here comes a gourmet meal. You're light on your feet. You can make this stuff work. You're quick. You don't suck a lot of battery power, you know? You're incredibly efficient. You only focus on the things that are important, and you just are able to make it right on the spot. You're like a pop-up gourmet kitchen everywhere you go. How is that not appealing? How does that not sound fun to you? Now, you think, oh, yes, well, sure, but impossible. I bet you anything. Take a Skype session with me. I'll prove it to you in one session. I do it all the time. Come watch a class. Come see a seminar. Come watch it work. Let's never discuss acting. That way we don't have to pretend like we didn't. Let's not overly plan our performance. That way we don't have to pretend like that's not what we did. Doesn't that just make sense? So what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Is not going to go well? I tell you what. You really understand what it is you're talking about and why you're there in that particular scene, and you understand what your job is, you need to do, what you need to get across, what you need to make clear, and you pursue that, you just pursue that, and I promise you everything else takes care of itself every single time, because all of that stuff that you work on every day in your life, your ability to get your point across, all that stuff will come into play because you will let it. You will know it'll be there for you. It will always be there for you because it always is there for you. But you got to release the one idea first. You got to quit thinking that you got to plan it all and you got to kind of know what you're going to do and you got to have all this stuff like measured out. Otherwise, you'll be no good because you know what? You never will be. That's not what a true artist is. That's what an overly planner is, who then tries to recite stuff and not get caught being fake. The reason why actors get so nervous and tend to fluff up in the audition room is because they are just focusing more on trying to get their acting right, trying to get their scene right, trying to make sure that their acting, you know, hits the marks that they want it to hit so they can win the role. And they're not going in there and in earnest and honestly just addressing the issues with the person they're reading with. Taking that person to school, confronting that person over the thing, making magic that way, like make it occur right in the room right then, to the point that when you leave the room, the reader says, okay, that was too weird. I felt like that guy was talking right at me. I thought I was the guy. You know, that's what you actually want to do. And the only way to get there is to actually focus on the needs of the character in the scene and not have that then compounded with your needs to get the scene right and to watch yourself and to make sure all the little things you plan in your living room you're going to do right now. Man, oh man, that is just old school thinking. And so for the 100th time, don't do that. Don't do that. Try this kind of rebellious way of working where you don't write the things down. You're an authority on everything that you talk about in your scene. You have your lines down solid and you know what it is you're trying to get done in the scene and it has nothing to do with acting. You start going that way with just a few things in your bag that you carry. You want to know just a few things that drive everything. Learn how to extract that gold out of a scene and then with as little obligation to all sorts of concepts that you've come up with, go in there and just do it on the fly. When you rehearse, just let it be what it is. Now look, they're the same lines, you're the same person, you're the same people. Chances are this take will resemble that take. Nothing says you have to be different all the time. You're pursuing the same issues with the same ideas, you're the same person for the same reasons, of course. It's just don't become preoccupied, as if you don't get it that way, then it's not going to be precious and perfect. Forget it. The first part of this one will crush it, and the second part of that one, and you know, this is just the nature of the beast. But you're more likely to get where you want to be if you stop focusing on what it looks like, how it's coming across, what it sounds like. Is it believable? Stop with all that phony thinking. Don't do that. Now look, as I keep saying, sometimes this stuff's like a little light switch. It makes so much sense, it just happens that way, and you find yourself on a completely different track with your work. A lot of the time, that's not how it works. You just become more aware of the fact that you're a fake and you're planning stuff, and you'll start being aware of it. All right, well, don't let it beat you. See it for what it is. Try and do less of it each time and get on with it. But keep seeking the truth in the scene. Forget about the phony, baloney acting recital stuff. Come on, man. It's 2018. It's time to get with the program, all right? And if you want it laid out for you, kind of like, well, let's say in book form, you can always go to Amazon and get a copy of The Real Life Actor. Oh, that'll just lay it right out for you. But here's the thing, you got to read the book. There's no pictures. So just you're going to send, and then there's another page and another page. So there's a lot of reading, but it's easily read. And, you know, I recommend it. I've gotten a lot out of it. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.